morning, I want us to think about something this morning. I heard a story this week, and it really started getting me to think a little bit about some things. But the story I heard was that there was someone who was laying in bed, and they looked up to the ceiling, and in where the light was, there was a spider that was sitting with the light. And they thought for a moment that this spider was going to become their friend and land on them and be in the bed with them. As anxiety would, and as the enemy would try to get us to start freaking out and worrying even more, all of a sudden they started to think, what would happen if the spider became in the bed? What would happen if all of a sudden this spider jumps down out of this light fixture and jumps into this bed? Where am I going to go? To what's going to happen next? And as the enemy started playing tricks and mind games and started showing, hey, this can actually happen, and then anxiety started getting worse, all of a sudden we realized something. When the light got turned on, there was something that happened. The light turned on, revealing that there was a cover over the light, and that the spider that was there was actually inside of the light, but inside of the cover, and they couldn't see the cover. In the dark, they couldn't see the cover. They didn't know that the cover was there. So all they saw was this spider, and they thought, this spider's going to get me. So the light got turned on, and now you can see that there's this cover and that spider. There's no way for that spider to come down and get into the bed. Also realized that the fear that was there wasn't even alive. The spider was dead. There's no way that spider is going to come back to life and get down into the bed with them. But at the moment when they looked up and they saw this spider with fear and anxiety and everything that was going on, they noticed that the enemy was trying to say, look, there's this thing that is hovering over the top of you, and nothing can fix it, and nothing can change it, and it's going to happen. But as soon as God turned the light on, as soon as the light was over their head, they could see that it was time for them to stop worrying, because one, God has already covered them, but two, that there was not only covering, but that the thing that was what they were afraid of the most had already been taken out. You see, here's the thing you have to understand this morning. There's going to be things that happen in our lives that we are going to say, this thing is attacking me and I can't do anything about it. This thing is jumping at me and I can't do anything about it, and it's going to get me. But when we turn on the light of God, we have to realize that He will take care of it. That He's already taking care of it. Yes. He has provision made. He's already covering the place of fear in front of us. You see, the words of this song that we've been singing, it says, I know you've done it once, and I know you'll do it again. We've seen Him do it before. We've seen Him do it in the past. But sometimes we look back and we say, it's dark now. Now it's dark. Now it's the point where it's just, we can't do anything else. And He says, all you have to do is turn the light on and notice that I've already got the protection there. I'm already protecting you from the thing that you are worried about the most. So this morning, I don't know what you're dealing with, and I know there's people here that they come in to come with things that are going on, and you don't really know what to do next. But I'll tell you this, if you will just take that moment right now, take a moment, just say, God, I need your protection. God, I need you to help me right now. I need you to show me that you are protecting me, not just last week, not just last month or last year, but God, today you are protecting me. God, you've done it before, and I want to see you do it again. This morning, would you just take just a moment this morning and just say, God, I need you to protect me. God, I need that protection. God, I thank you for the protection, because not only does He give protection, but He's already, as He gave it to you when you asked Him, He's already provided it. So we say, thank you, God, for the protection. We thank you that you have protected us. God, allow me to see the protection that is being given to me, God. can sing those words is because we've seen in Scripture the things that He's done for others. But then we've seen it in our own lives of what He's done for us. We can say, "You didn't fail me then, so you're not going to fail me now." Because the Word says that He will never fail you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never fail you. So He can't fail you, so we can see that. But we have to walk it out on a daily basis. The healing that you received yesterday is still there today. You just have to continue to walk it out. The healing that you received last week is still there today. You just have to continue to walk it out. This morning, I want to continue our series, and it's the series Upon This Rock. We've been talking about the foundation of the church and who we are at the church and what we're looking to do and why are we continuing to do this. And this morning, we're going to do a two-part message. I remember when you watched TV shows and you would watch all the way to the end, and it would say, "To be continued." And you're like, now I have to wait, like, 2 weeks to see what happens in this show. I always like now watching the older shows where it said, "To be continued," because a lot of times it's like the very next section. It, like, starts it right over. So it's like, okay, good, I don't have to wait too long. I'm realizing that I like older shows that are already off the air. Because I don't have to wait for the next one, I can just watch it. Now that I'm watching current shows, if they go off for 4 weeks or 5 weeks or a month or 2 months, or I'm like, it's killing me. So my favorite show just came back on after being off for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and finally came back on last week, so we were like, okay, we can watch our show again, but we have to go back and check it, figure out, remember what all you missed, and so we're just excited to be able to continue this series, but part one is this week. And so this week we're going to talk about the word sin. Remember, we're talking about who Lead Church is and what we are and what we're doing. And within that, We've been talking about what it means to follow, and what it means to lead, and then today is when we send. So if you have your Bible, you can open it to Matthew chapter 16, and we're looking at verse 18, and a lot of you have your paper Bible, and some of you have your digital Bible, and whichever way you have your Bible, I just encourage you to have it and bring it with you, so that way you can follow along and read along, we have some other information that I'm going to be getting to you in the next few weeks. We do have an app for the church, and we're trying to update that and get that done. It will let you, with the app, you can give directly from the app to the church, but it also will allow you to get more information on events of what's going on in the next couple weeks. It'll allow you to sign up for things. It'll allow you to get updates on sermons, but also allow you to go and check and see what we're doing scripture-wise by looking at the app. So we're updating the app, getting it all set for you. We hope to have that very soon, where you can just download the app, and I can say, go to the app, and it's there, and you can look right up and see pretty much my entire message with points, and everything will be right there available. But then there's also a place for you if you want to, if you have a prayer request, you can submit that directly on the app, and we can look at that as well. So lots of cool things happening, but we want to talk about the word send. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says this, and this is our key scripture that we've looked at every week, but it says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," remember Peter means the word rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The thing with this scripture is that we want to understand that upon the rock, we'll build the church. We have to make sure that we are staying on the rock. Jesus is the rock. The Word is the rock. We have to make sure that we are staying on the rock. As we build this, and as we go, we do what we're doing, going out and being part of the community, going out and sending people out and doing all these things that we have talked about so far, we have to make sure that we are continually staying focused and stay focused on what it is that God has for us and He wants for what He wants to do. So this morning, we're going to look at the word send. We're going to do that for the next 2 weeks. My goal and my desire for you is that we are not just a church of attenders, but we are a church that follows Jesus. We are a church that follows Him and allows Him to use us to go out and get other people, to bring them in and to fill not just our seats and not just to have more people in attendance, but to fill people to where they understand that they can have a relationship with Jesus that opens up the door for them to be able to speak to the next person who needs to know about Him. I saw a thing today on Facebook, and I don't have the exact numbers, but it said something like 80-something percent of families will be saved if the husband is saved first. But if the kids are saved first, it brings it down to 3.5%. If a child sits here and comes on a Sunday morning and they get saved, 3.5% of the time their family will get saved. But if dad gets saved first, it's 80%. That is extremely crazy to me, but it shows that when the husband, the dad, the head of the house says, "We're going to church," everybody says, "We're going." They say, "Okay, we're going, and let's go." And that's how this thing happens. So to me, it's crazy to see that, and it's real to see that, but it's also a place where we have to understand that we have to go out and get not just the kids, but we have to go out and minister to the family. We have to go out and get outside of the walls of the church and minister to the people who are out in the community. We have that opportunity to do that with the Fall Festival. I want to say thank you to everybody who has given to the Fall Festival so far. You see out there in the foyer, there's a big thing of candy out there, Halloween stuff, candy that we got, and we are able to do that. We still need a lot more. I did talk to the coordinator, and he said it's about 3 hours of passing out candy and stuff to kids, and they come by with their costumes on and everything, so We're excited to be able to be a part of that. We will have a table, a tent, and be able to do that. We're also talking about ways that we can give to the community, not just of giving candy. So we talked about utilizing downstairs in the basement. We have a popcorn machine, and we talked about just going out and just making a big thing of popcorn and just handing out free popcorn to anybody who wants to come up to the table. So kids get candy and the adults get popcorn, or the kids get candy and popcorn. But we just want to be a way to be able to give out to the community. And you never know, we may be able to find somebody that will print Lead Church popcorn bags. Would that be awesome to have our church logo on the popcorn bags? We'll just hand it to them and they can do that. So, but we want to be able to be a blessing in our community. We have to reach out. And that's what this week talks about, is we have to be able to reach out and to send people out to do what it is that they have been called to do. So for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about one is that we have to make disciples. We have to have disciples made. So if you would go to your Bible again and look at Matthew 28, our scripture for today for this service, for this series, for this one, is going to be Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and then we're also going to look at verse 20. And I don't think I have that up there on my screen this morning. My screen guy left, so you won't have anything on there. But it says this, Matthew 28, 19. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. Everybody say the word all. You know what the word all means in the Bible? It means all. All means all. Every time you see the word all, it means all. It means not to be excluded from. It means everyone, all, everybody, all. So, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all, everybody say the word all. All the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this morning we see this, and we realize we take a couple of things away from this. First thing is this, we have to make disciples. We must make disciples of all nations, of all people, of everyone that we come in contact with. The church gets to the place where sometimes we pick and choose who we're going to minister to, who we're going to talk to. Oh, we don't like that person because they don't dress our part that we want them to, or, oh, that person may not smell the way that we want them to, and this person may not be have the most popularity, or this person doesn't have the finances, or whatever it is. The Bible doesn't say go and make disciples picking and choosing who you want. It says go and make disciples of all people. So sometimes we get to this place where we just say, I'm going to pick you because I think you can do the best. I worked at Radio Shack several years ago, and this was before I got married, and I worked there, and I started to pick up on some things. When you worked at Radio Shack, you didn't really get commission, but they tracked how much you sold in a day. So every day you could go on, you could track and see how much money you put into the business. But if you sold a cell phone, this is back when cell phones were just getting started. So you had three different options. You could go with the prepaid plan, you could go with the Sprint plan, or the Verizon plan. That was what you had. And this was back when cell phones cost a penny to buy a penny, to buy the phone. We literally would have people walk in with no money, we would set them up on a cell phone contract, and we would look at them and say, your phone costs you today one penny, and they would look at us like, and be like, it's fine, we got a whole pocket over here full of pennies, and we would just take a penny and put it in the register. And like, okay, we're good, we sold this phone. But for selling that phone, we would get a big commission off of that. So they like to tell us how much it is. Oh, look, you got an extra $50 in commission for selling that phone. Now, you guys remember when you first started getting phones, they would try to get you to buy the phone and then all the extra stuff? Well, you're going to need a car charger, you're going to need this, you're going to need a case, because what happens if you break it? Remember that penny phone is going to cost you about $500 by the time you get a new one if you break it. cricket. You don't want to do that. So every time we would sell extra stuff, we would get a little bit more. So every time you would get your phone, we'd come back with your phone in the box, and we'd be like, here's your phone. It's great. It's new. And then we would have like five different things, and we sat on the counter like, do you want to buy this, 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 and this? And you're like, no, because what? You came in for the penny phone. You didn't have, you weren't ready to pay for the all the accessories, but you paid for just the penny phone. So we had this guy that walked in, and he walks in, and he looks the part. I mean, he walks in, and he's like, I'm buying a phone today. I'm excited. He's all dressed up. He looks great. His hair was parted just right. I mean, he looked like he was ready to buy a phone. And the first guy who got it was Kyle, and Kyle was pumped. He was like, this dude is buying a phone today. He's buying the best phone he got. He's over there. He's talking to him. He's got his little brochure, right? So here he's got his little pamphlet. It's got all of his info. And he's like, dude, you know, if you set this up with this account, you get this many text messages. You get this many phone calls. You can call for free after 7 o'clock. Who remembers that? You know, you couldn't call until you didn't get to call automatically, okay? Just for the teenagers in the back. You didn't get to just call automatically just whenever you wanted. You had a certain amount of minutes that you could call. You had a certain amount of text that you could start using to send text. You had like 500 texts a month, okay? Like, at 7 o'clock, you can finally start calling people for nothing. It didn't cost you anything to call after 7. But if for some reason, at 7 o'clock, it was really hard to get a hold of somebody. The phone didn't work. The network was terrible. Like, at 6:55, you could get a hold of anybody. But at 7 o'clock, you couldn't get a hold of nobody. It's because at 7 o'clock, everybody's like, start calling. I got to tell you about my day. I got to do this, I got to do that. So Kyle was pumped because he had this guy he knew for a fact. This guy was buying the phone. He was going to get the best phone. He was buying all the accessories. Like, he was going to sell him the whole bundle, and Kyle was getting a big old profit at the end. So he goes over, he spends about 30 minutes with this guy, and as he gets him all set up, he goes, you want to go ahead and get that phone today? And the guy's like, yeah, let's do it. He goes, all right. He takes him over and puts her on the counter, and Kyle had this walk, okay? Now, I have to show you the walk because if you don't, it's not as good if you don't see it or understand it. So Kyle would have this walk, and we would come from the cell phone spot, and if he knew somebody was buying a phone, his walk was more like, he had a little kick in his step, right? So he was like walking, he'd be like, he knew this guy was getting a phone. Like, he was just pumped. He walks around the corner, like our counter, he'd come around here, and he'd come around the counter and go all the way back. So he literally would come around the counter, and he'd be back again. Just pump, this guy's getting a phone. He's excited. He does the credit application, pops back up. Hey, man, just want to let you know, this company says you have a deposit. You have to make this deposit before you get the phone. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, how much is the deposit? He goes, well, this company wants you to pay $500 down before you can get the phone. And he was like, oh. He's like, are you sure that's right? He's like, could you check that other one we were talking about? Maybe it's just something messed up. He goes, yeah, sure. Like, Kyle's still pumped up. He's like, hey, this other guy, he's like, that one's a little hard. Like, he plays this game, right? Like, that one's a little harder to get into anyway. Usually this one over here is not so hard. We can get you on that phone again. He types it all in, and he goes, click. And he looks, and you can see just this face. The excitement ran away, and all of a sudden Kyle goes, and he stops, and he says, dude, I don't know what's going on. He's like, but I'll tell you, he said, this company wants $1,000 before you can get that phone. And the guy walks over, and he goes, well, I guess I'm not getting that phone today. And you can see Kyle, he was like, he was pumped for a minute, and all of a sudden he got a little upset. And he was like, man, I could have swore that guy was going to get something. I could have swore that was the guy, right? Like, we walk in and we see people out in the world, outside the four walls of the church, and we take them and we're like, that's the guy that needs to come to the church. That's the guy that's going to be here, and they're going to be the ones who are going to lift their hands in worship. They're going to be the ones who are going to be the best givers. They're going to be the ones who are the ones that are going to pour into other people. They're going to do everything, and they're going to work really hard, and they're going to be this guy that walks in. And you see where I'm going with this, right? We have this guy that pulls up his car, and Kyle and me are standing there. And all of a sudden, Kyle sees this guy walking up, and it is this larger gentleman who has overalls on, and they're dirty, and they're covered in junk. And as he's covered in junk, the guy walks in the door, and as he's walking in the door, before anybody can really do anything, Kyle looks and he goes, "I'm out," and he runs to the back, basically leaving me by myself to take care of this customer. And I'm like, okay. So I walk up, and I don't say this to gross you out, but this guy did not, he didn't smell the greatest, he didn't look the greatest. He had what I like to call leaky nose syndrome. He just could not keep it up there. I don't know what was the problem, but it just kept running. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to help this guy. He wants to know about computers, and he wants to know about this and about that, and a stereo system, and how much it costs, and how do you connect this, and how do you... And I'm going, this guy is going to be a waste of my day. I can already see it. I can already feel it. Here we go. We're going. By the end of the time this guy was there, he was there for 30 minutes, which Kyle stood in the back for 30 minutes, and this guy bought almost $600 in computer equipment and stuff for his house and surround sound systems and everything. And I asked him, I said, so tell me what you do, because when you're in the process of buying all this stuff, I'm trying to kind of figure out who people are. I said, so tell me what you do. He goes, well, he's like, I'm a farmer. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, you putting this, like, are you going to put this in your house, or is this a gift? Or he goes, well, he's like, this is for me, for my house. He's like, I just had the biggest investment that I had ever happened on my farm. And I said, oh, really? I said, what did you do? Did you sell some animals or something? He goes, no. He said, I was mowing, and I hit something. And I said, okay. He goes, and when I looked at it, he goes, I hit something and it punctured a hole in the tire of my tractor. And I said, okay. He goes, but when I picked it up, he goes, I noticed that it was a part that I really didn't know what it was. He said, I had somebody come out and they looked. When they came out and they looked to see what it was and fix it, they found out that it was a part for an old oil rig that was in the ground right by our house. And I didn't know about it. And I said, okay. He said, they struck more oil, and now I have a bunch of oil underneath my ground that I'm able to sell. And this guy literally was a millionaire and walked in to our business and was like, hey, I'm going to spend $600 today. But the point of what I'm trying to say is this. Kyle ran off because he's like, that guy isn't going to be able to do anything. But he ran to the one who he thought was going to be able to help. He ran to the one he thought, oh, that's the one I'm going to be able to take care of. So when we get to this place of looking in the scripture, we see that we have to make disciples of all people. We can't pick and choose who looks right and who doesn't.
Come on, that's good.
You see, because when that happened, did I make a whole lot of money off of that sale? No. Was I kind of maybe forced to helping this guy? Yeah, because the other guy ran off, right? But at the same point, if I would have just said, oh, I'm not going to do anything with this, that guy could have literally walked out the door and we would have never helped him. You see, we can't wait for people to show up. We can't wait for them to walk in the building. We have to go out and get them. Zach and Emily sitting on the front row this morning. I want to say something about them. Emily works and Zach works. Zach drives all around St. Louis and everywhere, dropping off bread. He's a bread delivery truck driver. Okay? He drops off bread. Emily works with kids. And she works with little kids and works at a daycare. Okay? Now, question is the people that Zach, that he's helping, is it the same people that Emily's helping? No. So does Emily have people that she interacts with every day that she can speak to that Zach can't? But also, Zach has people that he talks to that Emily can't. Trust me, because Emily's tried to go with Zach on the bread run, and she's not allowed to go with Zach on the bread run. And we found this out, but for Emily, Emily takes care of the kids, but she has to interact with the parents. Zach works with the parents and eventually would help out the kids. You see where we're talking about this morning is this, is that with Zach and Emily, Emily can touch people that Zach will never be able to interact with. But Zach also has people that he's going to be able to interact with that Emily will never be able to interact with. And the same goes for Timmy, and the same goes for Dale, and the same goes for Dallas. Every single person has somebody that you're going to be able to interact with that I won't ever be able to interact with. I may never meet the kids that Emily touches every day. I'll never be able to see the kids that she goes and takes care of every single day. I may never talk to their parents. I may never talk to the people that drop them off. But guess what? The time that I spend pouring into Emily, she's able to pour into that next person and bring that person and say, hey, there's something that happens at our church that you need to be a part of. See, Timmy's a completely different thing. I'm not going to be able to go down and officiate the race. But he can. And there's guys out on the racetrack that probably need him to say, hey, you need to come with me to church sometime. I can't go on the air, go and fix the airplanes, but guess what? You can. And there's people that you talk to every day that need to know, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what God has done for me. This is what God's doing for me. I can't go to the high school and be inside the school every single day, but that's a mission field that you have that nobody else has. So I want you to understand that we have to first make disciples of all people, not holding back, not just looking at them, but also doing what the scripture says. It says to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to make new disciples. Because what happens is this. The moment that Emily teaches and brings in one of those parents, and that parent walks out of here and they're changed and they're coming to the church and they're excited and they have a relationship, that parent immediately starts to talk to other people. They have other parents outside of their circle of friends that they're going to talk to and start sharing what's happening, and then all of a sudden that next person is going to get the same thing. Now, I'm going to be honest with you and I'm going to say this. I know that I know that I know that this next part is going to be a little weird. But it's okay. Because it says, in the word, it says you have to show them what to do. Which means you have to spend time with them. You have to bring them in a little bit closer than what you're normally used to and say, this is where I'm vulnerable right now and I'm showing you what to do, but this is how you have a relationship with God. This is what it's like to come to church. This is what it's like. And I promise you, I get it and I know. Not every single person that walks in the door of this church is going to like the style, isn't going to like the preaching, isn't going to like the singing. They're not going to like what we need to talk about. I get that. Everybody has their own style, the way they want to go. But I'm not going to look at somebody and say, Emily, you can only talk to people and tell people about Jesus if they're going to come here. There's several other churches in town that they can go to. It's not about building our church. It's about building his church.
Right.
It's not about just building our building and what we want to see happen. It's about building his church. Because the moment that we look and we say, hey, we're going to make disciples of all nations, that means we may never see the person that we're ministering to.
That's right.
Next week, we're going to talk about our missionaries. And we're going to talk about missions. And how I believe that missions should be ran. And what we see, what we have seen in missions. And we're going to introduce you to our missionaries and what our missions projects are. But we may never see the people that our missionaries missionaries or the people that we send mission money to, we may never see them. We may never on this side of heaven understand anything that we have done or the impact that we have made. But eventually, one day, we will find out that what we've sent over to help a missionary has reached this many people. And when we send our time and our effort and our finances over to help our missionaries, that becomes something that comes from us. We're a part of that. We're an extension of that. And they appreciate what we give. And I'm not going to go into all of next week's message because that could just keep going. And I'll lose it and I won't have anything to talk about next week. That's not true, but we have to continue to send ourselves out. And then we have to be a leader. We have to lead them. We have to show them what it's like. And I promise you one thing, it is going to cost you something. What is it going to cost you? Time. It's also going to cost you stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit and speaking to somebody and sharing what happened with you today. This morning before church, I saw a couple people who posted that they were at the church this morning. Super excited that they did. Screen going good? Okay. I don't know what's happening behind me. It's okay. I don't need to know. But we posted what's going on, that we're at the church. I promise you that somebody, when they see that you were at Lead Church, and they look at your page, and they look at that, and they go, what is Lead Church? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? You went to church this morning. Guess what? Conversation just started. Yep. And guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to do a little bit of talking. You're going to have to give a little answer. I went to this church that my nephew started. I went to this church that my son started. I went to this church that my husband is a pastor and he's mean. I don't know, like, whatever you have to say to get the conversation going, but you understand this is our church, yeah. Right, Zach? This is our church. I'm picking on Zach. Zach's still trying to get used to it being the church that he goes to. So every time we're getting ready to do something, he's like, oh, is this what you guys are doing for the church? I'm like, no, you're a part of it, so it's what we're doing. Like, come on, Zach, you gotta get in with this. Like, he's working, he's trying really hard. But the second thing, the last part of this is this. So we make disciples. We become leaders, we've shown them. But then the Bible says this, it says, teach them, these new disciples, to obey the commandments that I am giving you, and be sure of this, I'm with you even until the end of the age. But it also says this in the scripture, it also says, send them out.
Yeah.
Send them out to go and do whatever it is. So, if we're bringing somebody in, and we're making them disciples, we're showing them to follow Jesus, and we're showing them what it's like to have a relationship, and then we look and we say, okay, the next step is to show you how to do that, but also for you to be a leader and bring the next person in and to bring in that next generation, the next step, do what you have to do next, bring a friend with you. I encourage you to do that. Invite somebody else to come with you. But if we do all of that, then we also have to send those people out. We have to send them out into the community. We have to send them out into the next place, the next step, wherever it is they're called to be. So this morning I'm going to do something that is a little, I keep saying it's a little different because we've not done it before. So it's new. It's brand new for us here at the church. But I'm going to have Zach and Emily, I'm going to have them come stand up here for just a second. I told them this morning I was going to embarrass them. This is the point where it gets embarrassing because Zach doesn't like to be out front in front of her. Zach and Emily came to us when we first started talking about the fact that we were going to plant a church. And it was the first launch party. We saw them at camp meeting. And when we saw them at camp meeting, we talked with them. And they came to our first launch party, and they sat back here in the back, and they acted like they were just here, and they were just going to be, you know, hey, we just want to be here, kind of support you, see what's going on, blah, blah. So that day, we had, what, like 50 dozen donuts in the back. And we didn't get rid of all of our donuts. We didn't eat them all. We didn't have a whole lot of people show up. So I talked to Zach and I said, hey, let's go out. And we're going to go out to Bandanas afterwards, and we're going to go eat. And I just want to talk to you. I want to see where you're at. They filled out this card that said that they just wanted to see us in September. They weren't really, like, looking to come on as part of a team and join us for a launch team. But we went out to eat. But before we went out to eat, they noticed, I don't know if they noticed what they were doing or if they just followed us. But I showed them something that we do. And something that I started saying as we were launching the launch team and getting stuff together, I said we were going to be a part of the community. And we drove to two different places and dropped off donuts to the police station and to one of the fire stations. Now, my son thinks it is hilarious that I took donuts to the police department. He thinks it's funny that now I'm taking donuts to the police department for the police officers. But I take these donuts to the police officers, I take them over there, I drop them off, I hand them out to the fire department. Zach and Emily sitting in the car, just kind of like, okay, what is going on? And we get to Bandanas and we start talking, and one thing they tell us is, we want to be involved in ministry. We want not just to go to church, but we want to be a part of the church. And so we started talking to them about what are your plans, what are your desires, what do you want to do, you know, give me all this information. See, I can sit there and talk to Emily forever because I've known Emily forever. But for Zach, it was a little bit more of a stretch because, as you can tell, he doesn't like to talk. So to get him to open up and to say anything, it was like really trying to like pull teeth to get Zach to say what was going on and what do you want to do and tell me what your vision and stuff is. But one thing they said was, we want to be involved in ministry, not just be a part of ministry, but be a part of ministry. See, there is two different ways, not a part, but a part. So they want to be a part of ministry. So we said, okay, we said, well, let's talk about this and let's do this. And so we had several moments of conversation that day. And then we also had moments at our house, just sitting down, eating, talking, getting things, and they became a part of our launch team. And one of the things they said was, we really feel called to be in ministry. Like, not just being in ministry, doing things, but we really feel like being a part of ministry. And so they both decided that they wanted to further becoming part of ministry. And so today, we get to confirm that in them. But also, we get to get ready to send them out. And so, here's what is happening is, they are going through a program called CAMS. It is a minister's program through the Church of God. And this allows them to become ministers in the Church of God. It will allow them to take their first step in ordination. They will be able to take their exhorter's exam at the end of the summer next year. They can take their exhorter's exam to the end of spring, end of the summer, I don't remember. But they'll take their exhorter's exam, and they'll have a license certificate saying that they're part of the Church of God denomination as ministers. They'll have their own file numbers. They'll have to record on what they're doing and how they're doing in ministry. But they've decided that as a couple, as a unit, that they want to go through this process. And so today we get the opportunity to say, we confirm that in you, that you are called to do that. But we're excited to say, yes, we want to cover you while you're doing that. And this is a part of us sending someone out. You see, the one thing is this, is we are, me and my wife in the church, we are making disciples. We're bringing them up and saying, we see that in you. Like we talked about last week, having Paul and Timothy. They're the ones we're going to be pouring into. And they're going to find another set of people that they're going to pour into. Emily wants to do worship. I'll let Emily do worship anytime she wants. My wife would say, hey, go ahead, because that means she gets a chance to take a break for a week. Zach wants to do youth ministry and be involved in youth ministry. I think it's interesting to me that the first group that we get to work with and be a part of is somebody that's just like us. Literally, this is us in a smaller, shorter, quieter fashion.
Wait.
But we are excited because we get to help them move into that next step, that next place. But they can't get to that next place until we send them to that place and say, we see that in you and we want you to grow.
Teach them the first.
So here's the thing that I want to do this morning. This morning I'm telling you this. We see it. We're excited for you. Now go and do it. We will help you. We will be with you. We will encourage you. But we want you to grow.
Yes.
And I will honestly tell you something. There have been lots of people who have looked at this couple and said, yes, we see it in you. But there's been a lot of times that they've been held back and waiting to be able to do that. And I'm looking at you and I'm saying, I'm not holding you back. Go and do it, and we'll go and do this together. Now, this is the part that gets scary for me. I know in ministry that things happen. I know in ministry that there's next steps. And Zach and Emily may not be here forever. I want them to be here forever. But they may not be here forever. The moment that you say, it's our turn to go, it's going to be because we sent you and we prepared you for it. We want to be a church that sends people out to where they're called to be. Not just to say, okay, here, you're here, and we raised up this new next level of ministers that's going to sit on the front row and just do nothing. We want you to go out and be involved where you are. Right now, your mission field is here. Right now, your mission field is doing the bread truck. And I know at times it drives you crazy driving that bread truck all day, but there's a moment that you're going to understand there's somebody that is you're delivering bread to every day that is going to look at you at one point and be like, man, you're going to see they're just not having the day. And it's going to click, and you're going to be able to say something. There's going to be that moment that mom drops her kids off and she's bawling and you don't know why. And you're able to talk to her and try to fix the problem because you're able to utilize what you've been given and say, you know what? I can't fix it, but God can. There's going to be moments where you're going to look and you're going to see that person sitting in the back row that you don't know and that nobody said anything to. And I'm sorry if I missed them as they're walking in, but you're going to be able to say, hey, I'm going to go make sure I talk to them. Because they're the next person that's going to come in here and they're going to be the one who's going to help us to continue to do what we're doing. So this morning I want to say this. As part of Lead Church, I will promise you and tell you that we are going to lift you up, but we're also going to push you to continue to do what you're called to do. And while you're doing that, let's go and do it. Outside of the building, outside of the four walls, let's go and help and get this community and do it. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you guys can sit down. So we have to go. We have to take people like Zach and Emily, we have to bring them alongside of us, we have to raise them up to do what they're called to do, and then send them back out into wherever they go. Zach and Emily may never leave. Gosh, they may never leave. I feel like Tommy right now. He says that every time he talks about me. He's like, they might never leave me. I constantly am calling Tommy. Like, once a week I call Pastor Tommy questions, and he's like, dude, you're just never going to leave me alone, are you? Like, no. This is what you get. You got what you asked for. There you go. But here's the deal. They might never leave, and that's okay. But but if you stay here and you sit in the front row and you don't bring new people in and you don't have new followers that are following you and watching you, then we've done nothing but just sit and talk. There's too many churches that are talking the talk.
Come on, Pastor.
There's too many churches that are saying, oh, we want people to come in, but when they show up, don't take my seat. Don't clap when the pastor is preaching. Don't say anything. Don't do anything that's going to disrupt the service for me.
Come on.
Tommy would say this all the time. He would preach this, and when he would say it, I would just crack up laughing. But he would say that he works at the church every day. And every day he walks into the sanctuary and the chairs are not off the ground. Which means they're not just up here. Which means one thing. They don't need you to sit on them to keep them to the floor. And he says, you don't have to be sitting here to keep the pews down for them to stay there. They're down. They don't need you to sit. But we need you to go. We don't need you just to sit here and get and get and get and get and then walk out and not have anything for the people out there. When we go to the grocery store, we see something. The grocery store, they get the groceries in. You pick it up. You take it home. You go there because you got to get something. You take it home because you need it. And then you consume it. The problem is that sometimes we come to the church and we get here because we need something and we take it home with us and we don't consume on it later.
Come on, that's good.
We get to that place where we just say, okay, I went to church, that was great. I walked in the door, that was awesome. I gave a little bit, that's great. And then when we walk out the door, we're like, well, I'm still hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I still need food now. I didn't get anything out of it. I'll promise you one thing. I'm not going to always give you what you need out of the word for the day to sustain you. I'm going to give you the word, and it may be something that you're going to have to take home and just chomp on it a little bit,
right,
and break it down some more and understand what it is that I was actually saying. Because I promise you, if you look and dig into it a little bit more, you're going to find stuff that I missed. You're going to find something and go, what was he talking about? And you start reading and you go, man, if I would just read just a little bit farther and see what actually the next step I should do is. I had a pastor look at me one time and he said, don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. Don't take what I've said. Take what the word says. Because I might have it wrong. I might say the wrong scripture. I might say it's in the wrong place. But I promise you one thing, it's always in God's place. He put it in there for a reason. There's a reason why the stories are there. There's a reason why what's being said is being said. It's not just there for fun, kicks, and grins. It's there to change the people around us. And until we walk out of the building and we say it's time for us to go and to take ourselves and go out into the community, and for us to be sent out in the community and say, we are ready to change the way that we are seeing people act and the way we're seeing people move. We're just coming and being attenders.
Come on.
There's enough church attenders. There's enough people just coming to church just to come. We need people who are going to leave and say, I feel ready to go out. Now, I want you to understand something. If you are an attender, I'm not criticizing you. If you are someone who says, I'm just not ready to go out and be out there and to speak out and say, that's fine. I need you to attend. I need you to be here because when you're here, you're getting the encouragement and the time you need. Because when you are ready, you'll be ready to go out there and do that.
That's right.
So when I say I don't need just a church attender, understand, you're not going to be an attender forever. You're going to be a doer when you walk out. You're going to be a doer when you walk out of the building. It may take 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 or 9 months or whatever, however long it takes. But the one moment that you all of a sudden you say, you know what, today I'm going to ask God to show somebody that I need to speak to. And when he brings that person into your life, you look at him and say, you know what? I saw on Facebook that you were looking for a new church. You should try this one. This is the one I go to. I'll even sit with you. You come in, you don't have to go by yourself. I'll even sit with you. I'll take you out to lunch afterwards. Tell them you'll give them a donut and a cup of coffee. Because it's there at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's sitting right there. You're not lying. You can take them in there and get them a donut and a cup of coffee. And it didn't cost you anything. And it's Folgers and it's good.
Oh, yeah.
I promise.
The best part of waking up.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. The second part is going to church. So we're okay. But here's the thing. We have to do what the Word says.
Yeah.
We have to go and make disciples of where? That one word we said.
All.
All. Of all people, of all nations, doing what the Word says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to go and do the same thing, and sending them out. They may never come to this church, and that's okay. But I want them to go to his church.
Yes.
They could go to Navigation. They could go to Life Point. They could go here, there, anywhere else. I talked to the associate pastor at Navigation Church the other day. And I sat on the phone and I talked to him for about 15 minutes. And in the middle of talking to him, he said, "We are excited that you guys are right here." He said, "You are literally in our backyard. I literally could throw a rock and hit their building. I may need some help." I don't have that good an arm. We'll throw the rock, pick it up, and then take it over there and drop it in the yard. And it's been thrown and it's there. But the thing is this, we're right there. We're right here. We can almost see them from our parking lot. But he told me, he said, "We're excited that you guys are here. Because this community needs the church." He didn't say that this community needs your church. He didn't say this community needs our church. He says it needs the church.
Yes.
And he said, "For you guys to be here," he said, "that's exciting for us. We are excited for you." He said, "And I promise you one thing." I said, "What's that?" He said, "We tell our people all the time, if Navigation Church is not the place for you, we want to help you find a place for you." He said, "And now that we know that you're here, and we know who you are, and we know about you," he goes, "I promise you one thing. There will be people that will be sent from Navigation to come to you. Because Navigation isn't what they're looking for. But knowing what you do and who you are, you'll have somebody that's going to show up and say, 'Yeah, I used to go to Navigation. They referred me to come to you.'" He said, "And when that happens," he goes, "just think. What would happen if all the churches would say, it's not about a competition of who has the most people.
Come on, that's good.
It's about finding a place that that person fits in and they're comfortable and they can speak and do what it is that God has for them to do. If this isn't the place for you, I get it. I understand. I'm okay with that. Go to church somewhere. If you can't say, you know what, I'm not getting anything out of this, okay. Let me help you find a place where you will get something out of it. But know that my job is to send people out. Our job in this church is not just to have people come, but to actually see people go out and bring people in that is going to be able to change their life. That's the next step. That's the next thing. Next week, we're going to talk about missions. I'm wrapping up. Next week, we're going to talk about missions. And next week, I want to share with you who our missions are. What our missions stuff looks like, what it looks like for us to support missions. I'm also going to introduce you to our missionaries. I'm hoping that I will have a video from our missionaries that we can show. Because they are not able to be here, they are out on mission field. So with that being said, I cannot bring them here, but we can bring them by video here to introduce them. So I'm sending out a message to them this week to hopefully get a video that we can share. But we are going to show you what our church is doing to impact not just our community,
but to impact the world through the missions that we're given. Next week, we're going to do our very first Mission Sunday. Next week, we're going to give you an opportunity to give to missions in a special offer. Now, I'm looking at the crowd, and I say this. I get it. That we're a short, small, little group. Next week, we may all be here. Next week, we may have half the crowd, or we may have double the crowd. Double the crowd would be awesome. Half the crowd, we're going to have to call some people and see where you were. But next week, we're going to take up an offering for missions. We have four missions projects that we're doing, that we're taking care of. And out of four missions projects, I would love to see us be able to give a missions offering just from the church of $400. Now, someone could probably write a check for $400 right now and say, here, take this, here's the missions offering. If that's you, wait till next week, add it to what you're going to give, and we're okay. But I'm saying this. We can start our goals out small and see those goals met, and then continue to give every month we're going to do missions. Now, am I asking that every month we do $400? No. But every month I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, okay, it's missions month. Make sure you mark down missions this month if you want to give extra to missions. We already give to missions. Just giving this out there. We already give to missions. For what we have right now, what has been given to the church already, we are already taking what has already been given and using it and giving out to missions. This is just a special missions offer. We're not going to not give what we already have. We're going to give extra to our missionaries this month. But it's a way for you to understand that missions is important. Not just missions here in town, in the community, touching out and reaching out to people at the Fall Festival and giving out free popcorn and giving out a whole bunch of candy. Is that missions? Yes, that is missions. Being the light in the middle of a Fall Festival / everybody just saying the way it is, a Halloween party. We can be the light in the middle of a Halloween party.
Come on.
But also missions around the world. So next week, I'm encouraging you. I want you to pray about it this week. What is it that you could give to missions? What is it that you would say, you know what, I know we could give this amount. Above and beyond what you would normally give in tithe or offering or anything else, the missions offering next week, we'll do it at the end of the service. That's just a way for us to say, we support missions and this is what we're going to do. And then every single month, we're going to give to missions. First Sunday of every month. I want us to pray this morning. We're going to be dismissed. I'm excited about what is getting ready to happen for the next couple of weeks as we finish and we continue to go down this road of what's happening and who lead churches. So Zach and Emily and my wife will be leaving.
thank you this morning that you have challenged us this morning, that you have had your presence here with us. God, I pray, God, that as we walk out of here this morning, that we would walk out of here knowing that we are to go and be on mission. That we're called to go and not just be in the church, but be a part of the church and go outside of the building and reach the people outside for you. God, I thank you, God, that you have opened the door for us to be able to be in this community, to be able to touch the people in this community, to be able to impact the people in this community, God. God, we pray, God, as we bring them in, God, that we would make disciples, God, that we would open up our hearts and open up our lives to them, God. God, that we would make disciples, that we would pour into them, God, and then that we would send them back out to the place where they work, the place where they go to school, places where they're involved in, God, so that they can impact the next person. God, we pray for the other churches in this area right now, God, that you would speak to them, God. God, that you would bless them, God, but God, that they would also be doing the same thing and going outside of the buildings to reach the people, to bring them in, and to send them back out. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. We say everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. We love you. Have a great day. You are dismissed.